I am so thankful this morning for the words that Jesus spoke in the, I believe it was the 10th chapter of John. He said, I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. And I believe this morning that it is the Lord's plan. I don't believe I know this. It is God's plan that we would be a family of Christians that are encouraged Christians. I believe the Lord wants us to be Christians that are filled with the grace of God. He has a plan and a purpose that we have a purpose in life, that we're settled in where we're going. I believe that the Lord wants us to know our sins are forgiven, and that we can go through life with courage, knowing that the Lord is our high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities and makes intercession for us when we fail, when we feel weak, when we fall down. We serve a God who wants to pick us up. He wants us to be successful in our spiritual life. And I'm convinced of that, and I trust this morning that all of us here have a vision and share in the belief that this is what the Lord wants for us and that it is attainable. But I also know today that it won't be possible for us to be spiritually rich, for us to experience the fullness of the blessings of God, if we are in a state that's consistent with what I have written on the board behind me. I've written on the board soul leanness. Could have said spiritual leanness. The Lord doesn't want us to be spiritually lean. He doesn't want our soul to be lean, but rather He wants us to be flourishing. He wants us to be fat in Him. And I feel like that, say it this way, long-term Christians, this can happen to anybody, but I think that people of God that have been well-meaning Christians that are believers, that have been associated with the church for maybe years and years, the enemy can come in, and without coming in to try to present gross sin to us, because he knows that that's a non-starter. You know, he's not going to come and get me to go take somebody's life. That's just not something that I'm tempted with. I'm not tempted to steal anything from anyone. That's just not. I'm not going to be tempted that way. However, the enemy knows that if he can get us to be in a state of spiritual leanness, where our soul becomes lean, that we can get us in a place of trouble. And that isn't where the Lord wants us. The Lord wants us to be strong. He wants us to be flourishing, like we mentioned. And so this morning I'd like to think about that just a little bit. I suspect that some of the things that will be said, they're challenging. They're challenging to me. But I want the message to be a message of encouragement, knowing that if we find ourselves spiritually lean, that's why Jesus Christ came. Jesus came to bring us something that would take us beyond a place of soul leanness. So if there's something that's said today that you feel like, yeah, that's me, don't let the enemy get you down about it. Be encouraged that the Lord is bringing a message to point it out so that He can lift us up to a better place. Because I believe that's where He wants us to be. I'd like to read a verse out of the 106th Psalm. Ask an interest in your prayers for this message today. Psalms 106, we'll start reading, or maybe we'll summarize a little bit at verse 7. The psalmist was recalling the Israelites that came out of Egypt. And in the seventh verse, he mentioned that our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They didn't remember all of the mercies that you had shown unto them, but provoked the Lord even at the sea. And you remember the Bible stories and the accounts of the children coming out of Egypt. How many times did they say, why did we do this? Why were we brought out of Egypt and to only get out here in the desert? Well, now we have the sea in front of us. We were safe back there yesterday with our lives, and now they're after us, and we have water in front of us. And they began to complain and murmur before God. That happened, it seemed like, over and over. It said, nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. And He rebuked the Red Sea, and He opened the waters, and they were able to pass over it. And then He covered up their enemies with the waters. And it said, then they believed His words, and they sang His praise. Didn't that happen a lot in the wilderness? They would murmur and they'd complain, and the Lord would come along and He'd answer their prayers and they'd be happy, and then it wasn't long and they were murmuring and complaining again. Things weren't going the way that they wanted them to. And it said, then they believed they His words and they sang His praise. Now these next three verses, I'd like to think a little bit more about them. It says, they soon forgot His works. They waited not for His counsel. Do you think that ever applies to us? It seems like as human beings, we are so quick to forget what God has done and what He can do. And it's like just yesterday, God can do something for us. And then today we face something and all of a sudden it's like, oh no, look what's in front of us. Oh my, we're gonna perish. Isn't that what happened with the disciples out on the boat? They had just witnessed the miracle of the loaves and fishes, I believe, if I recall correctly, the day before. And the Lord says, okay, go to the other side. And so they started going and they got in the boat. The wind and the waves came. And it said that they were scared and they were fearful. Why? It says, because they remembered not the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Just happened yesterday. What happened? The God, Jesus is the same. He's the same God we're serving, and yet as human beings, so quickly we can forget who it is we're serving. Folks, be encouraged today. We're serving a God that is unchanging. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He wants to do for us today and tomorrow just as He did for us before. But it said they soon forgot His works. And they got in a rush. They got to take it in their own hands. We got to do something here according to my wisdom. And they didn't wait on His counsel. Be encouraged to wait on the counsel of the Lord. And it said they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Sobering words of verse 15 says that God granted them their request. They murmured they didn't have meat. No, He sent them meat till it said it was filled out or running out of their nostrils, remember? He gave them their request at different times. But the sobering part of this says that He granted the people their own request, but it was accompanied by leanness in their souls. I have a vivid recollection when I was a child, and I may have related to this to you before, but I remember as a small child sitting up on the side benches at church in Jefferson. And my mom and dad would sit there, and I would sit there. And Brother Austus was preaching about the 10 virgins. And I have a vivid memory of him saying during his message, he said, "Now, the parable here said there were 10 virgins. Virgins meaning largely or unspotted from the world. These were good people. These are people you'd want to be your neighbors. They were not out committing sin, if you will. They were good people. But it said that five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. It didn't say five foolish sinners. It said five foolish virgins. Good people. And when the Lord came back, there were five of these good people that had run out of oil. And the door was shut and separated them from being able to enter in to heaven forever. And I remember Brother Austus saying, "Now, saints," he said, "as this is applied," something like this, "half of us here this morning in the congregation would be found without oil." Because the parable is to good people. The parable is to people that were not giving themselves to the things of the world. They were people that had some good standards, some good morals. People that no doubt were good examples to many others. And yet half of them were lost for eternity without oil. Oil had run out. And I remember as a child sitting there looking out across the congregation as only a child might do and wonder who here might not make it if that's true. And that was a disturbing thing to have to think about. Now, none of us have to be lost, folks. The parable doesn't mean that half of the people in this congregation will be lost. God is not grading on a curve. He would that no man would be lost, but that all would come to repentance. And all of us here this morning can be saved. Every single individual in this congregation, God wants us to be saved. He wants to be able to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." However, Jesus Christ issued the parable of the 10 virgins for a reason. And He issued the parable of the 10 virgins and likened half of them to have run out of oil. And I cannot think of anything else in life worse than the Lord coming back. Perhaps today, at a time most unexpected. It's your turn, Rod. No time to pray. No time to make any changes. No time to make course changes in those areas where God had been dealing with my heart. My time to stand before the Almighty God and be found wanting because I had run out of oil. I can't think of anything worse than to hear the words of the Lord, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Conversely, I can't think of anything better than to hear the Lord say, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You made it by the grace of God. You finished the course. You kept the faith. You got up when you fell down. Yes, you skinned your knee. You broke some bones maybe along the way, but you got up. You asked forgiveness. You went on. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. I can't think of anything better ever to hear than to know that
the Lord is going to allow me, by the gift of Jesus Christ, to be able to dwell in heaven for eternity. Never again to have to worry about being lost. And that is available to us this morning, folks. God has given it into our hands to make the decision whether or not we want to have oil or whether we don't want to have oil. It's up to all of us. It's not going to be a surprise. The Lord isn't going to keep us waiting and that we have to get there only to find out. All this time I thought everything was okay, and now I find out that it's not. The Lord leaves it up to you and up to me as to where we're going to go. He has granted the gift of salvation to every single person to make decisions. The Lord does not want any of us to run out of oil. But He wants us to be full of oil. And I don't want to meet the Lord at the end of the way and find out that I have run out of oil. So something that I'd like to bring to your attention this morning is that most often we do not go from being full of oil. Most often we don't go from being fat in the Lord, from experiencing manifold blessings from God, having a high spiritual sense of urgency. We often don't go from being very focused on the things of the Lord, from laying up our treasures in heaven, from keeping our eyes on the end goal and being diligent about it. We often don't go from that place to the next second of being flat, dried, empty of oil. You see what I'm saying? If you have a small leak in something, you don't go from full and then you look back and it's empty. Unless there's a big gaping hole, and if there's a big gaping hole, then there's something that led up to the hole that happened in the first place. Either it never was closed in the first place, or something was allowed, some sequence of events caused you to get to the place where all of a sudden you lost everything that you had. But it doesn't normally all just happen in a split second. But rather, most times what happens is that we can become distracted with the things that are all around us. You can get distracted. Things are going well, and then something happens over here that catches your attention. You're driving down the road at 70 miles an hour. It's best not to get distracted for very long, or something bad is going to happen. You might lose your life. When you find that you're distracted going down the road and you realize, I'm distracted, I'm going really fast, and there's other pieces of metal that weigh a couple tons that are also going fast, and some of them weigh a whole lot heavier than that, it's best that you become undistracted. I don't know if that's a word, but maybe it should be. Because if you don't, the end isn't going to be good. And often distractions can cause us to lose oil. Distractions that don't fill us with oil. You know, there's a lot of things in the world that aren't sin, but they're not filling you up with oil. I mean, people, we as people, if you're looking to figure out how you can live every bit as much as you can live to your own flesh, do everything you want to live to your own selves, but stop just short of not being saved. If you want to live like that, and always say, well, is it sin? Show me scripture and verse where it says that's sin. You can live like that if you want. But I just want to warn you that if you live on a steady diet of things that maybe are not technically sin, but you have given yourself to and consume your heart and your minds with things that don't provide oil. You know, there's some things you can eat that maybe they're not bad for you, but they don't just offer a lot of nourishment. Celery comes to mind. Now, I don't know, maybe celery offers nourishment that I don't know about. I've heard it takes more energy to digest it than the calories that are in it. So maybe there's some good in it. But there are some things that you can eat that maybe they're not bad for you, but they're not doing a whole lot of good for you either. And if you spend your time on those things, and you just want to say, well, it's not sin, and that's where you're focused on, is all the things that are not sin, but you forget that you need to be nourished. If the devil can't make you bad, it'll make you busy. Make you busy with things that don't nourish you, to keep you full of oil. I want to have oil in my life. I need oil because there's going to be things that we face in life. I am going to need the strength and the power that only comes from having an infusion of oil. So if you want to lose your oil, become distracted with all the things that are out there in the world that they have to offer, and they're all around us. And it takes you away from spending time on things that can bring oil. Delaying and deferring. Did you know it brings some amount of spiritual comfort when we realize that there's something in our lives that probably shouldn't be there. And instead of saying, I'm just not going to measure up to that. I mean, that's just not something I'm willing to do. Most well-meaning Christians, people who love God. You can love God and the Lord can touch something in your life that you love too. That's the reality of it. We're human. We're in the flesh. And you also love God. And there's some spiritual ease that we can bring our mind, that instead of saying, I'm not going to measure up to that, we say, well, I'm going to pray about that for a while. And we should pray, but don't get me wrong when I say that. I'm speaking of it in terms of delaying and deferring action that needs to be taken right away. Yes. It's a lot easier to say, you know what, I'll get to that tomorrow. That's something I'm going to get to down the road when I understand a little bit more about it. And we just put it off. We put it off. We're not saying we're not going to move up in that area, but we're just going to put it off. And so we delay and we delay and we defer. And all the while, you start losing oil. Because it's a crack. See? If the Lord shows you a place in your life that is contrary to the gospel of Christ, and you come into a place where you understand this is contrary to what I'm reading in the Word of God, and you consciously say, I don't want to think about it right now. Yes, there are things that sometimes take years to grow as we should. And God is merciful to us. He gives us time to do that. But there's a difference between that and accepting things in our life that we know is wrong. It's one thing to battle against something and ask the Lord for help, and you're doing battle with it. Maybe it's an attitude. You're doing battle with it. Maybe it's something you're drawn to, and you have to battle it. You have a thorn in the flesh, and the Lord doesn't take it away, and He wants you to stay humble before the cross and realize, I got to keep coming back. I can't do this on my own. And keeps us understanding that I don't have what I need in myself to do this. I need God. He leaves those sometimes. But sometimes there's other things. It's time to set them aside. Sometimes there's things in our lives that we allow in. Sometimes we allow them through here. Sometimes we allow them through here. Sometimes we allow them in the places we go. Sometimes we rent out space in our hearts and our minds and meditate on things that we shouldn't be meditating on. And sometimes those are things that God, He wants us to put those things to the side. It's a crack. It's a hole. The oil is going to run out in those areas if we don't do something about it. We don't just lose our oil all at once. Delaying, deferring action, becoming distracted. We can get into a place where the focus is more about me than it is about Jesus Christ. We can get to a place where our focus and our attention is focused so much inward, and it may not be on things of right and wrong. The enemy can do that with Christians too. He battles Christians oftentimes in non-sinful areas, if I can put air quotes around that. Things that maybe in and of themselves aren't wrong, but if he can get us to lose our oil, we'll end up being like the five foolish virgins who ran out of oil. And we can feel sorry for ourselves in life. We can get in a place where we're in a tough spot with the responsibilities that we have in life. Or things that the Lord asks us to do, and we look at it and it's contrary to what we really want to do, and we can feel sorry for ourselves. And we've all been there, haven't we? I've been there many times where you start kind of feeling sorry for yourself about something. But if you let that be a pattern of life where the focus is inward on me, rather than, Lord, I am your servant to follow you. Lord, I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord where it's about you, Lord. Lord, help me to be willing to pick up my cross. Whatever cross you designed for me, Lord, help me to be willing to pick up the cross and be willing to carry it even when it gets heavy and it's uncomfortable. And I wish you could round out that corner a little bit because it hurts. If we could just, modify the cross a little bit. Put some wheels on the bottom of it so I don't have to carry it. Let it roll a little bit. And we as humans do what we can to modify our cross so that it's easier to carry. Sometimes the Lord gives us crosses in life because He recognizes there's a place that I need to get to this individual so that they can make it across the finish line successfully. And it's for our good, and we view it as just a weight and a load and a hindrance. And yet, if we could step back and see through the glass clearly versus darkly, we would see that it is one of the most blessed things the Lord has ever sent our way. Because it's helping us in the very area that were it not there, we would be lost at the end for eternity. And yet if the enemy has his way, we can just feel sorry for ourselves. And pretty soon we let that settle in and all the days go by and our focus is inward. As opposed to, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Lord, how can I better serve others? My focus is more on myself. And over time, those are cracks that the oil of the Spirit starts to run out of. Because our focus is not, Lord, please fill me with who you are. Lord, help me to do whatever I need to do that I would be filled with the Spirit of God. That I would have grace on hand. That I would be willing to die out to myself that I might serve you in a better way. These are places the enemy works with Christians in things that at first do not appear sinful. They can be disguised as things that are okay. And yet with time, we wake up one day and we run out of oil. And the enemy is a specialist at causing us to desire things that are pleasant to the eyes, pleasant to the body, to the flesh. And he knows how to work with us in those areas to get us to the place that we shouldn't be. And in fact, that influence can influence our very prayers to God. where the bulk of our prayers are, Lord, help me have an easier life. He wants us to pray that way sometimes. He invites us to bring our cares to Him. I'm not preaching against that. I do that often. We get sick. We get in trouble. We need help. We feel grief. God wants us to bring those cares to Him. What I'm talking about is a spirit of where we are so inwardly focused on ourselves that pretty soon we can't see past ourselves to the service that God wants us, the capacity of service that God wants us to fill. And then pretty soon we start murmuring and complaining because we don't like the environment that we're in. And we end up like the Israelites, where they prayed to God for a lot of things. They didn't stop praying. Lord, they looked up to God. Lord, give us water. Lord, give us meat. Lord, do this and that. And in the end, He did. He gave them what they asked for. But He sent leanness into their souls. The result was something that, if it affects us, spiritual leanness, it can cause us to lose our souls in the end. I don't want to lose my soul. I want to experience the blessing of life. I want to experience the blessing of being filled with the oil from heaven. Spiritually lean means dry, spread thin. It's the property of having little fat. It's good to be lean in some areas. It's not good to be lean spiritually. You have no capacity. You're living right on the edge. You're seeing what you can get, living however you can get by with, and maybe still be able to claim that you're saved. It's a dangerous place to be. God wants to help us in those areas. Leanness left unattended creates a spiritual crisis for us that the Lord wants to do something about. Before we close this morning, we'll probably come back to this message. There's a whole lot more to it that I'd like to spend time on. But I'd like to mention several signs of spiritual leanness that the Lord desires to help us with. And that is, one, if you find yourself having a pattern of no real desire to talk with the Lord and read His Word, probably a sign of spiritual leanness. We will not always feel like reading and praying. That's real. And we're all going to experience it. I'm talking about a pattern where it just seems like that's just not something we hardly ever want to do. If we find that we're not moved and stirred in our conscience by the Spirit of God, nothing ever just really moves us, that should startle us into action. You may be past the point of spiritual leanness. Your oil may have run out. If you don't ever feel convicted, your conscience doesn't ever bother you, it's time to get on your knees and ask God in heaven to deal with your heart. Conviction is your friend. Conviction is to be thankful for. It's not to be scared of. Well, that must mean I'm doing something wrong. Thank God when you feel conviction. Thank God when you feel chastised. Thank God when you feel pricked in your spirit. It is a blessing from heaven. When you no longer feel pricked in your spirit, when your conscience doesn't bother you in those areas that you know the Scriptures teach you against, it's time to get on your knees and pray. If you find that your discretionary time that you have, what am I going to do with my time? And your heart, if it's consistently going out to all of the things in the world that don't ever help supply you with the oil that you need spiritually, It might be a sign you're getting spiritually lean and something needs to be done about it. The fruit of the Spirit is in short supply. You can read the fruit of the Spirit, and I'll just acknowledge to you, whenever I read about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, against such, you know, there is no law. Read through those things. I usually feel pricked in my spirit. And I'm thankful that I do, but it also puts me on my knees. Lord, I don't feel like I have the joy that I believe you want me to have. I don't feel like I'm as meek as you want me to be. Lord, But if you find that those things don't move you and you don't have a desire for those things and you're lacking across the board and you're not increasing in them, but you're decreasing in them, might be a sign you're spiritually lean, and God wants to do something for you in those areas. If you're consumed by life's worries, you live your life and you're consumed by the worries of life. Your focus may be too much inward, and the Lord wants to do something for you. God is still on the ship. He's still in control. He can help us get through. Having heavy on religious form and light on an alive experience. Heavy on religious form. If you are more comfortable with a list of do's and don'ts, and this is something we'll spend more time on, saints. If you are more comfortable having somebody tell you what you should do and what you should not do, and once you get that list down, as long as you comply with that list, you're good to go. You are at risk in your spiritual souls. God came to do something for your heart. He came to give you an experience that is alive inside, that will help you understand what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But we can hang our hat and have a false sense of spiritual security if we're not very careful. We can become heavy on form, as the Pharisees were. But inwardly, Jesus said, He said, outwardly, you're as white as sepulchres, but inwardly, you're as dead men's bones. There's nothing there that's alive. If that's what determines whether you feel good or not about how everybody else thinks about you, if you're checking off all the boxes, those are things that are important. It is important what other people think about us in its place. Most important is that we have a heart to serve God and that we are open to His leadings and His Spirit. And I know that all of us likely experience at different times in life places in all of these areas where we're tempted, where we're caught up short. That's life. And the Lord invites us to come and get realigned, get back where we need to be so that we can spiritually prosper. But if we find that these things begin to define who we are as a pattern, God wants to do something special for us in those areas. This morning, I don't want to allow spiritual leanness to set in. And when we begin to recognize that it is, it's not time to despair. It's not time to allow the enemy to beat you over your head and tell you that you're worth nothing and your experience is gone and you have nothing that's worth investing in and you never could do it on your own anyway and that you've always been a failure and you might as well throw up your hands and give it up. That's just the enemy. When we recognize we have areas in our life that we are spiritually lean, God invites us to come take a drink from the well that has been filled by the Son of Man, that we might be able to have and get some oil to replenish where we maybe have run out. The Lord wants to do something special for you. The Scripture says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Be encouraged with that today. Don't be discouraged with this message. Be encouraged that God is being faithful to us to deal with our hearts because He has a vested interest that every one of us would make heaven our home. May the grace of God and His peace go with each one of you this morning. Amen.